I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Curie, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. I look back at some of the concussion symptoms that I might have had during games or whatever it might be. I don't think I got a concussion during a game. I never got knocked out.
You don't ever think you had one?
I don't know, because I mean, I dished him out, Scott, you know.
I think if you knew the symptoms of concussions,
right.
I'll bet you'd go, you know what, I had some of that.
Yeah, something. I know I had something. I remember
to focus, headaches, not being able to sleep, a lot of things.
I remember to go
to class and it hurts you to actually try to concentrate.
Focus on the board and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Light.
I remember in games where you'd have a hit and there'd be that piercing pain at the front of your forehead. And you're like closing one eye and you're going, get through it. Get through it.
And you don't think you had a concussion?
But I remember not losing consciousness, not seeing stars. I'm just saying that I made it to where I was like, I'm staying in.
See, some people,
I told myself I was going to stay in.
Some people don't have a lot of brain activity, they're not super smart. So
it didn't hurt to concentrate, Scott, because those two brain cells never crash into each other. It's fine. It was fine. Yeah, so we're talking concussions. We're talking about this story that Amy Donaldson did in the Deseret News. You can also check it out on KSLSports.com. The perspective of a former NFL player is huge in this, I think, Scott. And having you in the room is a massive deal because right now you guys are getting into more testing. You had your long day of testing where the NFL is coming in and doing these base tests on you guys to see where you're at right now. And this is part of an ongoing lawsuit that former players have with the NFL also right now. But a $300,000 lawsuit that's coming out of the state of Utah that a kid is suing the school district up in Cache County over and having a coach tell him to go back in the game. I know how important these kids' health are. And with five kids, the number one thing I worry about is if these kids are okay. And it's my job as a dad to keep them okay.
It is. When I was a player, this whole man up mindset, I'm just telling you, it was
might as well been on the
it
wall.
It was normal.
Yeah,
it was so normal, and I would be, I'd be upset at other players,
right?
It was kind of a written rule or unwritten rule. You just figure out. I know that I played with concussions. I know that I played with broken bones, all kinds of things, and you just, I mean, part of your adrenaline is going, so you can kind of work through it and manage it. But there was never this process of leaving
right.
and getting out of a game. Now, when I came back to coach high school, I was so conscious of these young people, and my mindset totally changed. It really did. I wasn't sitting there going, you know what? I made a man up in their preparation and in their work ethic and how they were in practice and how they were in the off season and how they went to class and this whole process of understanding how to be successful and how to work at it. But I would never, ever put them in harm's way. There's so much valuable information, and there's so much even the equipment. I mean, my son goes, "Dad, you wore that helmet?"
I know.
I mean, just seriously.
It's hilarious.
You know, because I think the concern, like you mentioned, you know, I got to take care of my kids. You know the value of the lessons of playing sports.
I love, specifically football. I loved it. It was the thing I loved the most playing.
I'm convinced that it's safer than it's ever been from rules. I'm just telling you, they watch these kids, and if there's any head issue, they're out.
And if they're not, but if they don't, then they should be held responsible.
No question. But you know what? They have they go before the season. Every single sport in high school, tennis,
right,
soccer,
they have to certify like crazy.
But what they do a baseline test, which is part of what I'm going through right now. So they know. In a normal state of mind, this is the brain activity of this individual, and then if any issue, that's how they judge where this person is, and they put them in a concussion protocol, and a lot of these kids don't come back for a long time because they have these issues.
I want to ask you about what is supposed to be happening to you on Friday.
I don't remember.
No, that's good because it's the future, so you wouldn't remember that. Yeah. So we'll ask you about
Friday's in 2 days, right?
Right. You know what? You passed. So no, the whole before we get into it though, I can't stress enough that I don't want people to be afraid of football, Scott. I don't want.
Well, that's my point.
We have a colleague who was in the room. We're talking about this prepping for the show today, and they said, I never want to let my kid play football because we're talking about the darkest part of the darkest thing that can happen to somebody when you're talking about injuries and the worst of a coach allegedly forcing this kid to go back out there when he was not in the right state of mind to be able to do it. And I want to, and you said it, you were like, you stopped her right in her tracks. And I can't remember what you said, but
I just said it's really selfish of you to do that.
Yeah. But why? I mean, why? I want to know why.
Because first of all, I believe that football is as safe as it possibly can be. And quite frankly, most I want to say this is an outlier, this lawsuit. This isn't the norm.
Yeah.
It isn't what happens. And there are so many other places in your life that you can get injured. And I just think the risk of that happening is very, very minimal. You can do nothing. You could be on a skateboard. There's all kinds of ways you could get injured. You could play these sports that aren't necessarily contact sports, and you know, like girls' soccer and basketball, and even because they're not protected. They don't.
Well, you said specifically
padding.
Girls' soccer because that actually has a really, really high rate of head injuries.
But
that
a lot
come
of people love soccer because it's supposedly not supposed to be the sport where you get injured in.
Right.
The value of what you get from playing sports, and specifically football, it's a hard thing to do. And I those lessons and what you learn about yourself, I just treasure too much. And if your child has an affinity to it, they have a passion for it, they're good at it, why would you ever deny them of any of that? I mean, if they're not any good and they don't like it, fine. But let them figure that out and let them determine that on their own. We're better as people. And you brought this up on the show last night with President Worthland at BYU. What are you passionate about? And that's where people are going to have fun, where they're going to succeed, they're going to be happy, is when they're doing the things that they love and they're passionate about. And if it's sports, let them go through and let them experience it. Quite frankly, all the data even shows now that kids typically in high school sports don't have long-term brain impact injuries from playing sports.
Yeah.
It's the ones that play for long, 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 long periods of time. And even that's debatable how much that just having, you know, some kind of head injury impacts their long-term health. I there's nothing wrong with me. I mean, we can be funny.
Well, we haven't had all the tests yet.
We can be funny about it and we can joke around and all that. But I'm just telling you, I'm pretty cognizant in my life and I'm here, I'm conscious. And I have half a brain, and I'm not worried about my long term health at this point.
What what are they going to do with these other? What's this other test going to entail? Do you think on Friday?
I have no idea.
They even told you they're not going to tell you, right?
They don't tell. Yeah, I think it has more to do with So what they tested all the different parts of my brain and how I like solve problems, how I think through things, my memory, the whole vocabulary type of things. And I think this is more about mood, and it's more about are there potential of like mental illness issues. And so it's not how my brain operates and manages itself, but are there, you know, long-term psychological mental health issues?
I just can't. I'm trying to marry this feeling of I don't want people to be afraid
of
football.
Which I'm more afraid of that than the other tests I went through. Like, yeah. I could be crazy.
Well, or depressed.
Right.
Or, you know, I think about Junior Seau.
I think if there's anything, I think depression might... I'm not saying it's an issue, but it's something I could see would be...
Become an issue, possibly.
Could potentially be a concern. When the show's over at night, I cry when I go home.
Do you? Just about other stuff.
Yeah.
Just about... You start putting on those old country songs. I know how you get.
And we shouldn't joke about that. I mean,
no, but I get
because
it
because it's very serious to
well,
us.
Listen, this is something that's
our
in
way
my
of dealing
family.
With life is we kind of we're a little
Absolutely.
Bit lighthearted and
listen,
joke and
listen. But this it's is serious. Something I've dealt with in my life,
yeah.
Right? And so I know how I've had to deal with it and cope with it, and it is a hard deal. It's a hard deal. I'm gonna take a break here. We'll come back. Sam Farnsworth, KSL5 Television, is gonna join us. We're gonna talk a little bit about Baker Mayfield. What Ryan Leaf, who is usually number one on the list of NFL busts, has to say about the bust status of Baker Mayfield.
They made the award after him.
Yes,
it's named
they did.
After him.
Knock it off! Taking the break. More to go after news, traffic, and weather here on KSL's Unrivaled.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.